Then there were her eyes. Not blue, not gray, but somewhere in between. Quincy imagined that the color shifted with her mood, becoming soft flannel when she was contemplative, icy blue when enraged. And when she was intrigued, her head tilted slightly, her lips parting in anticipation of a kiss. Quincy skittered away from his thoughts and shifted uncomfortably in his seat. It wasn't like him to think of a police officer that way. Business was business, especially these days. He moved his analysis to her qualities as a cop. She was inexperienced. Her handling of the crime scene and the suspect proved as much. But he didn't think she was dumb. In his 32nd appraisal, she had struck him as stubborn, smart, and naturally analytic. He already understood she was fiercely loyal to her community and, at times, proud to a fault. He suspected she lived for her job, had few close friends, and few outside interests. This, however, was cheating. He was drawing heavily on the profile of the surviving child of an alcoholic, which could go one of two ways, an underachieving drunk or an overachieving workaholic. Since Rainey obviously wasn't the former, he imagined, she was the latter. She had yet to prove him wrong. All in all, she was a different sort of police officer from what he'd expected. Probably different from what Detective Abe Sanders had been expecting as well, and thus they were butting heads. With all due respect to Bakersville's Sheriff's Department, most small-town police officers had good people skills, but weren't the brightest bulbs on the Christmas tree. They made roughly $20,000 a year. Their cases were routine. They had a tendency to settle into ruts as masters of their tiny domains, and what analytic abilities they did have atrophied as they patrolled Friday night football games. Of course, Quincy was an arrogant federal agent, paid extra to look down at all other forms of law enforcement, especially those mental midgets in ATF.